WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. Listen to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Sunday night, and you know what that means. It is the greatest Sunday in the history of Sundays, but the greatest Wrestle Talk Radio in the history of Wrestle Talk Radio. This is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTR live, wherever you watch for the next hour, because we should be live for about another hour. It's your last chance to get the 5230 badge just by watching for an hour. For free, right here at twitch.tv/WTRLive. We are also here to talk about Clash in Italy, which is this next, it's next Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern. So it's an afternoon affair on a Sunday for Clash in Italy. I am the producer, joined as always by the intern.
You know, Rock, I am just so lucky to be here this Sunday and be part of this show.
By God. We also have...
I'm just a little sassy, a little salty, you know.
That's a usual Sunday night for you. We also want Keishi Matsunaga.
I feel like I'm missing something.
Maybe. But it's okay. You can get your 5230 badge. Just go to wildtalkradio.com or twitch.tv/WTLive. Watch for free. We also have one and only Tim Stein.
Pretty much I'm here. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Please excuse my voice. It is still not 100% there. I wound up with a little bit of laryngitis for about 5 days. And it's still not 100%. I'm suffering from what the doctors called walking pneumonia.
You should be careful.
You need to get some of that laying down pneumonia.
Well, I'm stupid enough not to let it stop me from continuing working during the day, but I've been coming home and passing out.
As what?
Also known as resting and taking care of myself. Hi, Lindsay. Thank you. I will.
So, yeah, so
can I have a cupcake?
Yes, you gotta watch for an hour and get a cupcake. Anyway, we're here to talk about WWE Clash in Italy, as I mentioned. We got four matches. One that is pretty much confirmed. And that's where we're gonna start with the almost confirmed match, because this is what took place this past Monday night on Raw. The return of the retired Brock Lesnar. He's back, and looks like he's going to be facing Obafemi next Sunday.
you killed a fantastic moment. You utterly killed it by bringing him back, what, 3 weeks later?
It's been over a month.
Okay. You still essentially Summer of Punk'd it. You had a fantastic moment at WrestleMania. You had it on ESPN, where Brock had that moment where he seemingly retired, and everyone was talking about it, and it was a fantastic, visceral moment, all for him to come back on a random Monday night and give 4 F5s to Obafemi and split his pants open.
Again.
Cool.
He's got to get better pants. I mean, he's got to quit shopping at Walmart.
He needs to... I get that this may still be ultimately like his retirement is at SummerSlam, but if all you're doing is coming back, having him have the match with Obafemi, and then setting up the match in August with Gunther, essentially. Oh, okay.
I'm going to give you the take that I got from talking to people that I know who we would classify them as casual fans. And the take from the casual fan, at least the ones that I have spoken with about this, is it was a hell of a pop and they were really into it. And they, you know, basically thought it was a genius swerve. And it harkened back for me to, like, this is like the third time in a decade and change that they've done this. You think Mark Henry, with his fake retirement, just so he could bash on John Cena.
Okay, I have a question in response to that. You had a really cool moment with Mark Henry and the Salmon Jacket against John Cena. What did that ultimately accomplish?
Nah, nothing, really.
He didn't win. He got a title shot and blew it, and then he just was kind of there, if not faded into the background. Brock gave up this moment. He could have let this linger for longer. He could have, you know, they could have had a bigger return than a random attack on a Monday against Obafemi. And he's going to have this match with Obafemi. He's going to have a match with Gunther. And then ultimately, that's probably going to be it. And the question is, you blew that moment for two more matches? I said at the time, if Brock was going to retire, have it be that moment. I understand it's your big show in August that you want him to be a part of, and he's a huge name, but now it's just going to feel, you know, okay, if he retires in Minneapolis, it now becomes a Brett Favre thing where it's like, well, wait, is he really retired? You know, do we believe this? When's he going to come back next? Or, okay, cool, he retires now. We already saw what happened before. This doesn't mean anything now. Gunther retires him. Cool, Gunther gets another name. Yippee. We've already been talking about what do you do next with Gunther. He's getting a title shot against Cody because there's nothing better to do with him now. And, okay, he'll get Brock, but what happens after that moment?
You see, you're not looking at it from the eyes of the casual fan.
That's fine. The other part of this is they can't just have a regular wrestling match on this match. It has to be something elevated.
Here's my question for you.
Okay.
Does Oba beat Brock again, or does Brock get one over on Oba, or does it go to a non-finish?
Goes to a non-finish. That's a real shit move, in my opinion, because now you've brought them back to do nothing. And if Brock wins, okay. If Oba wins, I don't know what this match is going to accomplish.
Well, let's ask Keishi.
I think all it accomplishes personally is just like, I think because the match at Mania got such a big response, I think they're kind of just like, I don't know how much of it was a swerve and how much of it was a, oh, this got a good reaction. Maybe we should run it again because it'll make us more money. It is hard to say. Or, you know, they threw a bunch of money at Brock Lesnar to bring him back and maybe he actually was retired. We'll never know.
We'll find out on, was it Untold? Unreal?
Yeah.
And even then, we don't know if that's the legit answer because, of course, it is reality TV.
Reality TV. For the record, it was originally planned as a 3-match run for these two. That was the idea before we saw what happened in WrestleMania.
So the question is okay, if this is the third match, when is the third match supposed to hit? Night that's of a- Champions? Because that's going to feel awkward of a championship or non-championship match on a Night of Champions.
Have you watched the Night of Champions pay-per-view premium live event?
I know. I get it. And I know that it's in Saudi, so they're going to want those big names there. But the problem is if you do it at Night of Champions, which is the end of June,
yeah,
you've got to tie a bow on that and then turn Brock to SummerSlam in 4 weeks to possibly have his final match, if what we all believe is to be believed.
Or is the best of three finishing at SummerSlam and there is no Gunther?
That could be the case. It could be SummerSlam is what we imagined as opposed to what would really happen, because we've seen that happen before with some of our stuff. We're like, oh, this is the match that they're going to go with, and it didn't turn out that way, and we kind of go, oh. So that could be the case. I still have a really bad taste in my mouth because of what happened and almost how perfect that was. Because we talked about it at length when it happened.
It was a perfectly built angle. It made Obafemi.
It made Obafemi. It was on a big spotlight, and if Brock did walk away at that moment, it was a perfect moment because Oba had just beaten him when he was the Beast, and it kind of showed, like, I have nothing left in me. This kid just took me, you know, I threw what I had at him, he popped right up, knocked me down, and that was it. Now it just feels like, okay, if Brock wins, okay, Oba won in a fluke then at WrestleMania. It devalues what he did. If Oba wins, it's, well, why did we need this if Oba got the second win? And if it's a non-finish, as Tim was talking about, that falls flat, I think, for a lot of people because, well, why couldn't Oba finish him? Or, you know, a non-finish always kind of leaves a bad taste in the mouth. And we saw that also a little bit last night. It wasn't a non-finish, but it was a screwy finish that we saw with Becky and Sol.
What if to get back, say Brock loses next Sunday, what if the only way for Brock to get the taste out of his mouth, because he wants to beat this guy, his hand is forced to put his career on the line for the final time at SummerSlam?
I still think this match needs something bigger.
But you really can't stack this match bigger because of what your main event is.
I get that.
So you're kind of in a weird, they've written themselves in
a corner here for a bit.
They are, because you overbooked the main event already, so you can't one-up this one, which puts you in a weird spot. But
yeah.
Do you put Brock over Cash?
I feel like if you do, it kind of takes away everything that they just did at Mania. And I don't know how that would be good for business in any way whatsoever. I mean, like, in my head, I say it's either got to be, like, a DQ or, like, because it can't be, like, I don't know if there's an interference thing, because Brock is not that type of wrestler. He doesn't need interference. He doesn't need cheating to win his matches. He's Brock Lesnar. And so does this go into, like, a disqualification because they, like, are beating the tar out of each other outside of the ring and they call it? Or if Brock wins, that just negates everything that they did for Obafemi at WrestleMania. What does that accomplishes nothing. So it's either got to be like some sort of like shenanigans to cause like a double DQ or a no contest, or Oba's got to win again. And then they really can't go to the well one more time unless, like you say, Brock goes, I will do it one more time and I'll put my career on the line for real. So, but either way, I don't see Brock like winning. I see like a disqualification or no contest or Oba winning this match.
So which one do you want?
I know that's kind of what I'm trying to figure out here. You know what? Just for fun, I'm going to call the like no contest or double disqualification, no winner.
Okay.
Just for
fun. I was just going to say, I could probably live with the double DQ because that would be the best way to go if you're going to have a third blow-off potential retirement match. The only way I can see Brock actually winning this one is, you call it cash, shenanigans. Paul Heyman calls in the faction unbeknownst to Brock, which leads to Brock being mad that he wants to do it on his own. Here's the retirement match set up.
So are you going Brock wins or no contest?
I can't see them handing Oba the loss when they want to build him up to be the next big thing. Having Brock win just does absolutely nothing. I'm leaning towards picking the same as Kishi here. Because with a double DQ, you're not buggering up Oba's push. You're not hurting him in any way at all whatsoever. Yeah, no contest.
All right, Brian, are you going to go the same way? Or are you just going to follow the rant train of, hey, no one's winning?
No, I'm going, you have too much stock in Oba Femi. Oba picks up the win. If the match goes longer, fine, but Oba needs the win here because you put way too much stock in him at WrestleMania to go, hey, Brock, you're going to get 50-50 here, and then we're going to break it at SummerSlam or Night of Champions. If Oba loses here, you have officially derailed his train. Even if he gets the win at SummerSlam, he does not look like the beater, the world beater, the ruler that you're marketing him as. He needs to take down Brock Lesnar again to really drive home the point of, holy shit, this guy can take out the beast.
So, if we get to SummerSlam, and it is not Oba Femi versus Brock Lesnar, but it's Brock Lesnar versus Gunther, will that match be for the undisputed WWE Championship? Because Gunther will be challenging Cody Rhodes next Sunday.
Title versus retirement?
I was just a segue to get to talking about the match.
Oh God, no. Yeah. Oh, God, no.
What, Brent?
We saw that with Goldberg versus Gunther, and it was a foregone conclusion. Goldberg was not going to win. It's the same thing with Brock. I don't want to see Brock Lesnar with the title, and also, if Brock is, in theory, on his way out, I don't necessarily want, okay, Brock wins the title on his way out, and then is it, oh, he retires the belt, and then we have to have a tournament in order to crown a new one, because also, like, just extending his career because he won the title, no.
So there's no chance Gunther wins next Sunday, then, is what you're telling me.
I don't think Gunther wins here. I think Cody can pick up the win here, and then you steer Cody towards, perhaps, Bill at SummerSlam because you've started to set seeds for that. And that is a pretty big main event style match if you want to do something big for SummerSlam. Cody Punk puts them both in the spotlight. Plus, I think it helps that Phil is not in the spotlight right now.
So you're going to basically then stop the momentum of Gunther here by having Cody beat him?
Does Gunther really have momentum right now?
Yeah, he beat John Cena. He beat AJ Styles. He beat Seth Rollins at WrestleMania.
He beat Seth Rollins with interference at WrestleMania.
But he's on the winning streak.
He beat
John Cena.
He beat AJ Styles. He beat Goldberg. But we've had the conversation before of Gunther has been forever champion before. And then he went on this retirement tour that he's been going on. And the question is what, you know, what's next for him? What's it doing for him? He retires the people, but it just feels like, okay, that's just kind of his thing. It's not really elevating him, you know?
But are we excited for this match then? Since the outcome seems predictable?
I think it'll be a good match. We've seen it before. We got it at the Royal Rumble the one year as the last two competitors. And then we got it at Crown Jewel with nothing on the line but a fake championship and a ring and the fact, I guess, you could call yourself the champion of champions for the year. It's going to be a good match. I just don't know if it's meant to do anything.
It's interesting you say that, and others can chime in, but that's kind of what this title reign has been over the last year between Cody holding the titles. Does it really do anything?
Being quarterback one?
Yeah, like, these matches kind of don't really mean much.
I mean, yeah, for all intents and purposes, no offense. Like, Cody being champion, I think is just, we want to promote him as the big guy.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it really does anything. He has good matches.
Yeah, he's good matches. But do they mean anything, Kishi?
On some levels, it does, just from a perspective of, you know, he is the champion and he's defending the title. The matches are good. The storylines leave a little bit to be desired. He's not, like, Cody's not doing anything wrong. I just don't, nothing that he's been doing has, like,
not blowing you away.
What's the word I'm looking, like, I'm not excited to see Cody's storylines. Like, I will watch the matches and I know they'll be good. And, you know, they sort of just, like, are painting by numbers with him. And I don't Like, they need to do something a little bit more exciting to kind of get people behind his title reigns.
I think part of the reason for that is we had a 4-year reign by Roman Reigns, right?
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
We then had an entire year of Cody, followed by 4 months of John Cena.
Yep.
Back to Cody. Then about 2 to 3 months of Drew McIntyre. Back to Cody. I think everyone is just kind of sitting there going, like, we've seen this. And when it got to Roman, as much as people talked about the greatness of the Bloodline storyline, which they tried to, you know, change it up as they went along, we all agree that Roman matches, especially in year, I'll say 3, were absolutely formulaic of Roman goes in, slow pace match, he's going to talk while he's in the ring, okay, hope spot by the face, interference by Bloodline, match over. Roman wins. It got to be very, very expectant of like, all right, we're looking at about 20 minutes in. Where's Solo? Where's the Usos? Oh, look, there they are. Okay, we know we're at the end of the match now.
It drew money.
And what?
It drew money.
It drew money, but the expectation, like the fans just kind of knew exactly what was happening. And then you were like, all right, end of show is coming now. All right, here we go. Go home. See you all next time. I think we're a little bit in that way of Cody as champion, where you're just like, it feels like they don't know what to do otherwise. And like for the big stuff, they wanted Cody as champion. So it's like, all right, we know he's going to hold the belt from this time. If he drops it, he's going to get the belt back in this time, because when Cena won it, it was Cena's not going to carry that belt past SummerSlam because of the retirement tour. As much as we all kind of talked about, it would be interesting if Cena had the belt going into the very end. After Cena did that immediate about face and turned face, we were like, well, he's going to drop the belt so he can face a couple of heels on the way out. There we go. So Cody was going to hold the belt. Then they did the surprise drop of him to Drew, but that's also because if Drew didn't win the title when he did, we all kind of thought there's no chance in Drew ever winning a title. Because he had lost, what, like 3-4 matches in a row to Cody, that we were like, what's the point in him getting another match? He's lost everything. And then he finally won. And then, of course, right before Mania, Drew drops the belt so that Cody gets the big match against Randy Orton. So now it feels like, okay, is Cody going to hold the belt until SummerSlam? And maybe he drops to Punk. Maybe something big happens. He drops it. And then I think if that were to happen, Cody needs to be away from the title picture for a bit.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, there is a big thing that is coming out, I believe, in the Summer Rock.
Yeah.
And you know, homeboy, they're going to want him on TV. They're going to want that promo tour. So does that mean he's going to be out there with the belt promoting the movie? Because could have both your champions
on TV. Both of them need to be with the belt because they're both in it.
So, but ultimately, it's like, if Gunther were to win, would I be surprised? No, but at the same time, I just don't think, you know, Gunther winning does anything for me.
All right, I'll pose this way to Tim. Are they playing it too safe with Cody?
There are definitely times it feels like they are. And it's almost like they're treating him with kid gloves at times. You know, you're talking about not really getting up for a Cody Rhodes match storyline, another win, or regain the title yet once again. And I'm not invested. Really, I'm not. And okay, sure, he's in a movie that's going to be an expected blockbuster, and you know, you got to promote the damn thing and stuff like that. But do you need the title for it? As far as this particular match goes, I'm saying it's a 50-50 toss-up, and I wouldn't have any issues with Gunther winning the belt. I could see Cody retaining at the same time for whatever reasons. You know what? I'm just going to hell with it. Gunther wins.
Okay, Tim picking Gunther.
About you, Kate, what is Gunther retaining? Gunther winning the belt in your mind?
It's kind of a tough call. I mean, they have him beating all these guys. I mean, most of them are on their way out the door or went out the door after the fact. You have him beating Seth Rollins with interference. So does that say that, you know, he can retire guys, but he can't necessarily there's always a chance that he could lose to a regularly active competitor. It could go either way. I feel like if Gunther wins the title, then I don't know if the Brock Lesnar thing comes to fruition. And if he wins it, at some point he has to lose it. But I also would be okay if Cody lost the title. But I also can't think of anybody else that I would like to see that title on currently. There's a lot to dissect in this match. As far as like long run. I'm probably going to be wrong, but I'm going to pick Gunther as well.
All right, Brent. Who you got?
Don't want to see Gunther win here. I get the idea that he's retired a lot of people. And yes, AJ, Goldberg, Cena, big names. I think Keishi touched on a point, though. They're all on their way out. And if you have Gunther lose to Cody, I think it's just, I don't think it's a fault on him. It's just you're dealing with someone who is at their prime, who has beaten him already. But I also don't know what kind of intriguing storyline you want to tell with Cody moving forward. You teased Punk, but I don't know if people immediately want to see Punk go into that match at SummerSlam because he just dropped the belt to Roman, and then is it going to be, well, Punk gets the title at SummerSlam, or if Cody retains at SummerSlam, the question becomes, who is the person to take it off of him? Because whoever takes it off of Cody, you should be doing something with. And Oba is going to be on Raw, right, Rock?
Yeah, he's a Raw guy.
So in theory, Oba is going to be on Raw. He's kind of steered towards Roman as the dream match, lest Jacob win here this, at, you know, in 1 week. But the question becomes, who is the person that you're going to make in terms of Cody? Because whoever beats Cody should get a little bit of a rub off of this, especially because, as I said, if Cody drops the title, he needs to kind of be away from it because he's been involved with it in 3 years now. And possibly one of the people that could have contended for that title, at least in my mind, is contending for the other title at this pay-per-view, or this premium live event, I mean.
Yep.
So, I'm going to go with Cody here just because it still feels like they want him to be QB1 for a little while longer. But if Gunther were to win, I wouldn't be shocked, but I'm going to go with Cody.
We have a WrestleMania rematch. Rhea Ripley, Jade Cargill for the WWE Women's Championship.
They've really been having Jade go over on Rhea.
Pinned her last night,
has been getting the jump on her for the past couple of weeks, ever since Rhea has won the belt, and even before that. I don't think they're going to put the belt back on her. Because if so, why would you have her drop the belt at Mania just to flip it a couple of weeks later?
Yeah, it really makes no sense.
And it feels like if you want to do anything with Rhea after this, you could play up on the tag team that she has been working with recently. Not in a heelish way, but just kind of like, hey, we've helped you out, deserve a shot. Because we've also seen miscommunication between the three of them over the past few weeks.
We have.
And again, not necessarily in a we have to turn one way, because, I mean, Charlotte and Alexa have been entertaining as all hell as a face tag team. I think you can still run with them in that, because I think there's meat on the bone in terms of, you've really been working on that women's tag division for the past couple of weeks, and it's starting to show. Brie and Paige had a pretty damn good match last night, and Lash and Nia are a decent enough tag team, and you had, you know, Bayley and Lyra sitting out there, and you have Charlotte and Alexa. You've got a women's tag division that you can put some matches together. So I don't want to see, like, Charlotte and Alexa break up. I don't want to see them necessarily turn heel, because I think you put a lot of work into Charlotte being a face. You don't want to throw that away just to have Charlotte challenge for the title again. But also, like I said at the start, I don't know if putting the belt on Jade really makes a lot of sense, considering she just had it, and then you dropped it to Rhea, only to immediately go right back to Jade. If you're going to do something like that, have Rhea drop the belt to someone else, and kind of keep it fresher with a new champion.
Do you agree, Keish?
Yeah. I don't think giving the title back to Jade makes a lot of sense. It also kind of shows, like, with, there's always that thing where, like, if the person kind of wins up, gets over on the person a whole bunch of times going into the match, that usually means they don't win. Obviously, there's always the chance that they could swerve us on that. But there are other things that Rhea can do with that title for the time being, other people that she could face after this rematch with Jade that they could kind of go into. They could do sort of like a Charlotte Rhea thing or even Alexa, but there's also like so many other people on that roster that haven't had matches with Rhea yet that they could do. So I think we go with a retention for Rhea Ripley.
Some of the names, including, you know, JC Jane, who should be a top contender coming up soon.
Yeah. Well, especially because with, you know, Rhea and Charlotte and Alexa all kind of seemingly sort of together for now, there's, you know, Fatal Influence right there to kind of like be the next program with, you know, six women tags or whatever. So that works too. Like, yeah, there's a lot that they can do with Rhea holding the championship and having other people on that roster that they've brought up or that have been around a while that can go after that title.
Yeah. What do you think, Tim?
Yeah, I don't see them giving it back to Jade at all. Too many, you know, like it was brought up, too many potential matches you can book with Rhea and the rest of the roster.
So you're going Rhea?
Yeah, I'm saying Rhea retains.
Casey, you're going Rhea retains?
Yes.
Brent, you're going
Rhea Ripley.
It's Becky and Sol Ruka for the Intercontinental Championship this time around.
I mean, Sol finally won on the main roster.
Yeah, technically.
But by DQ.
A win's a win.
I was just about to say that.
a win's a win, but it was funny because there was confusion there where it's like, okay, they ring the bell and you're like, okay, did Sol just get disqualified for hitting the official? And then they had to make the announcement that it was like, no, it was Becky that got disqualified. And for a second, I was sitting there like Wade going like, but wait, she hit the ref. I get the ref got pulled in, but it's also like you rarely ever see someone get disqualified for pulling the referee into the move. It's almost always, you know, the pinfall or something along those lines. So,
well, who was the ref?
Oh, I know, it was Jessica. They made damn well sure you knew it was Jessica Carr.
So, like, I mean, this could fall under everybody's favorite term, referee's discretion.
Oh, I thought you were going to say conspiracy.
No, that's Becky's favorite term. I'm talking about everybody else's, and I'm being sarcastic. But being that, you know, it's one of those things where, like, it's Jessica Carr. She knows Becky pulled her in. So, like, why not do the thing of going, well, I know what happened here. It was not your fault. We're going to let this slide. Because that's always possible. It just doesn't happen as often as we would normally see.
Yeah. I do like the fact of, like, we all kind of knew that Sol was going to get a shot at the Intercontinental title. So, you know, she was going to pick up the win on Becky somehow in order to do that. And it does kind of still keep Becky a little bit strong, although I don't know if the four manhandle slams after the match was really like, we need her to look super strong going into this match. It's like, I mean, you did kind of get screwed out of the title, but it felt a little excessive. But overall, I think these two are going to put together a good match for what we're going to see. And ultimately, I would enjoy seeing Sol kind of pick the belt up off of Becky because, again, Becky's had the belt for a while. She's done wonders in terms of elevating it, but I don't know if she really needs it moving forward. And Sol getting the title kind of like gives you a chance to freshen some things up.
What do you think, Tim?
I'll speculate for me. Who do you figure is going to be the referee for the match?
Earl Hebner.
Bring him out of retirement.
Tim, what? Oh, wait.
And then have Dave under the ring?
Yeah.
There you go. I'm expecting Jessica Carr to referee this match. I just had the feeling that they're building up to a match between Jessica and Becky. And it wouldn't be the first time that a referee wound up wrestling. Now, Jessica, of course, is a trained wrestler. So it would be kind of fun to see Becky get so pissed off that she demands a match with her. But the penultimate for that would be for Becky to lose a title in a match against Sol, refereed by Jess. I mean, would you not pop for that?
I personally don't know if I really want to see Jessica Carr in a match because I feel like once, you have a referee in a match, it kind of takes away from them as a referee moving forward.
Well, she'd be no Danny Davis, that's for sure.
I get that, but it's also like, I remember Teddy Long as a referee, and then they transitioned out of him from that, and he never came back.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Stryker, same thing. The second he got involved fully, you know, involved in a storyline, it kind of took him out of that role, and then he became, you know, a GM, an actual competitor, etc. I don't know if you put Jessica Carr... That's why I've been glad that they haven't put Adam Pearce or Nick Aldis in matches. We all know that they're trained wrestlers. We've seen them in other places. But I think the second that they do that, it takes away from their credibility as an authority figure because they've become physical. They've become involved. The one time we had the hint of it, if you remember, Pearce got put in the match, but he never wrestled in it because it's like he stepped away and the angle happened around him. So I know people want to see sometimes those authority figures get involved. I know that, like, yes, Jessica could be in this and kind of hold her own. At the same time, I don't want it to go that way.
How would you feel about it, Casey?
I mean, on one hand, it would be, especially with kind of how long this has been going, it would be very interesting to see a match with Becky and Jessica. We've touched on the fact that she is trained and that is great and everything. The only problem I see, well, actually, it's kind of two problems I see with a referee in a wrestling match. The biggest one that I think most people would probably catch and probably agree with me in is whenever there's a ref bump, it does not take a lot to hit the ref, and they drop like a sack of potatoes. So, if you put someone who is a referee who has taken ref bumps in the past against a wrestler, and then all of a sudden they're able to take a beating and then do comebacks and hope spots and all of this stuff, then all of a sudden that kind of... the next time they, as a referee, take a ref bump, all of a sudden they go, wow, how come you can take a beating from seemingly one of the greatest female wrestlers of all time, and then you get sort of squished in the corner, and then you're down for 3 to 5 minutes while, like, 6 billion shenanigan things happen. Yeah, so, like, while that would be a fun payoff to that whole storyline, you can't have a competitive wrestling match for that reason, number one. Reason number two, if Jessica holds her own, somehow sneaks a pin, even with interference by someone else, like, for example, oh, I don't know, after a little while, there's a match between Jessica and Becky, and one AJ Lee comes back and gets involved to cost her the match. Well, that still is going to take away the credibility of Becky, regardless of whether there's interference or not, that she lost to a referee. And that does nothing for anybody either. So if they do it in a way where, like, Jessica just gets the crap kicked out of her for, like, 3 to 5 minutes, and then someone interferes and, like, drags Jessica on top, so there's a pin, to give it a storyline of, like, oh, you lost to a referee, even though everybody knows that she beat the crap out of her from pillar to post for 99% of the match, and then ends up losing a little bit, then it works. But that doesn't make the match interesting. It doesn't give, like, the hype to Jessica Carr that the whole storyline has kind of been doing so far. So you can't really have a match without either, like, making Becky look like a garbage wrestler or completely burying everything they've built up until now.
And I would follow that up with, okay, you have the big match, you know, the Becky Jessica payoff. If Jessica looks good, what's your next move with Jessica? Does she just return to being a ref?
Yeah.
Because at that point, it's, well, we've seen her wrestle, so the next time someone fronts to her, is it going to be, well, here comes the next person that she can face? Or is it she has to be straight and narrow doing that? Because I'll date back to, I mean, this is a very, very old reference, but if you watch WCW long enough, you remember Little Natch. Charles Robinson actively competed and, you know, was involved with the Ric Flair storylines. But after he kind of did that Angle, and same with Nick Patrick being, you know, the NWO referee. Didn't it feel a little weird seeing them as just a regular ref after that?
Yeah.
It was like, it's hard to reconcile once you put these officials in the ring. Same with, what was it, TNA? What was it, Skip Johnson?
I don't remember the name.
But there was the thing where, like, he was involved with, like, the women's division and having matches, and it was just like, I don't know.
circling all the way back. And to answer Tim's main question, the angle was hotter, like, 3 months ago if you were going to put Jessica in the ring. It's kind of cooled off. It's cooled off now. Who wins, Tim?
That was just speculation and designed to, add a little content. I don't see it happening. But I do see Becky losing the title.
Okay, so you're going Sol Ruka. Casey, who you got?
I think if we have Becky lose the title, which is possible, I feel like it is because of a distraction or interference or something like that. So maybe we have AJ Lee come back and they do their, like, no DQ rubber match at SummerSlam or something like that. Because that could be one way to, like, drop the title, and then they can kind of, like, have that kind of knockdown drag out with, like, well, there's no title on the line. This is just for, like, you and me. It's, you know, once this is done, we are done. There's no title on the line. There's nothing about that. That is possible. It would be a likely scenario. If that doesn't happen, I don't think Becky's necessarily going to lose to Sol right away. But I like the idea of maybe AJ Lee coming in, distracting, and kind of, like, setting up that, like, final match between the two of them, whether it's no DQ or something to kind of escalate the stakes to have that kind of finish, because they're, if memory serves, they're, have they had three matches or just two?
They've had two matches with AJ
Lee. Solo.
Two solo matches. They also had the Survivor Series and the tag.
Yeah. So, yeah. Let's do that. We'll have Sol beat Becky due to interference, distraction, like, not a clean loss, or not a clean win for Sol, however you want to look at it.
Okay, I have to go just break the news to you, Casey. I don't think AJ Lee's flying to Italy.
I
don't think she's going to fly to Italy. I don't think so. But maybe stranger things have happened.
Stranger things have happened, but
we'll see. Brent, who you got?
I think Sol picks up the win here because I think Sol winning gives her that kind of big initial moment. It sets her up with some stuff moving forward. It frees Becky up from the IC title picture to do whatever you kind of want to with her. And Sol has had two really good matches on television. I mean, she lost those two, but she has had some good matches to kind of showcase what she can do since the main roster, aside from that win over Bayley. But I think this gives her that chance to, like, really kind of get her feet under her and get some momentum moving forward.
And then your main event of the show is Tribal Combat for the World's Heavyweight Championship, Roman Reigns, Jacob Fatu.
So now I understand a little bit more, I think, why they may have added Roman to June.
And why is that?
I think it causes a little bit more question of what may happen with this match.
And I also think he was always supposed to work June. Some June.
I think he was supposed to work June, but at the same time, if he was supposed to take June off, if this match had been announced and it's, oh, Roman's not on the calendar for June going into Night of Champions / the European run, it would make this match feel a little bit more like, oh, I think we may know where this is going if he's not going to be around for a month.
Right, and I think he was always supposed to be off on the two international. There's three international roles he was supposed to be off of, two of them, because he's going to still be there for the Italy one because it's the same building the next night. But he'll be back on the 15th, which is in the States. So
before
he was going
to Saudi.
Yeah, he'll be back. He's going to be, because they go to London to Saudi. So he's going to miss London. And then he'll be back for the final June Raw here in the States. So he's the 15th and the 29th, I think it is.
That would be right after Night of Champions, because Night of Champions, I think, is the 27th or 28th.
The man, I don't see how they don't put it on Fatu, considering how they built him as a monster and the fact that Roman had to cheat to beat him last time. You put it on him and then have him possibly win it back at SummerSlam. Do we agree with that statement?
depends on if you want to give Jacob a SummerSlam moment or not.
Also, it depends on if you think that Roman versus Jacob is the match at SummerSlam, or if it's building towards the thing that people had been talking about after WrestleMania, possibly. It all depends what the storyline is with a certain Mr. Ruler. I still think that would be early for him to try and chase the title, personally. But you never know. Especially if you want to give him a big moment on a big stage again. Plus, I don't know if it was necessarily Roman cheat. I think it was Roman just out of pure desperation.
Yeah, it was more... It was desperation, for sure. Because he pulled it.
It wasn't the cheating that we saw with Roman the first time around, where it's like... he would deliberately rip off like the turnbuckle to put him in there. I think they did a good job of selling like Roman's in the Tongan death grip. He's flailing at everything. He's grabbing the ref. He's trying to grab the rope. And he just so happened to grab the turnbuckle and pull it right off. And it was just like, oh shit. Survival at that point.
Finish your point.
I was going to say, they've done a really good job at making Jacob seem like a credible threat as well. Instead of just being the, like, I'm a dog walk your ass, you know, having his one catchphrase. Like, he's going out, he's doing stuff. My biggest problem with his first match, and I hope they kind of clean it up with this next one, is I understand that they went to the Tongan death grip as his big, like, go-to now. But holy God, did they go to the well way too often in the first match with Roman with that thing. Only because in everything that we'd seen in the lead-up to it, when Roman got put in that move, he was down for the count. And yet he was able to continue competing in the match after it was applied 4 or 5 times in the match. So you started to have diminishing returns on the move that's supposed to be, like, this disabler, in a sense. And I know that's probably me overthinking it, but...
You agree, Keish?
I think, yeah, they used the Tongan death grip a little bit too much in that match, especially the way they were selling it. There is kind of, like, one could make the argument that he kind of figured out ways to get out of it quick enough that it didn't debilitate him. I think they kind of use it a lot. That doesn't mean that it's not going to cause it. Like, does that mean they're going to do it a bunch during the next match? It's hard to say. Obviously, it's going to be used. I want to say that is going to factor into the outcome of the match. Just because they seem to be highlighting it so much, it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense if it didn't. Yeah. I think Jacob's going to win this match just because, I don't know, it's tribal combat. There's obviously, like, no DQ, but that also means that Jacob can, like, go, like, fully crazy if he wants to, in a sense. And I feel like, yeah, I don't know, something tells me they're going to give the win to Jacob here.
Go full werewolf.
Yeah.
I like that. I don't have any in-depth observations or anything incredible to talk about with this match. I'm agreeing with Casey. I see him giving it to Jacob for a limited run.
Okay. Brent, close it out. What do you got?
I'm torn about what I want to do with SummerSlam. Like, what could happen with this? I'm not sure when you want to try to pull off the big fantasy match that we talked about that people are like, ooh, that could be interesting. I don't think it's necessarily SummerSlam. It could be, for all we know, but I think it's still a little too soon. I think in terms of Jacob, this is really kind of one of those big moments of, if you're going to do, you know, if you see him as a world champion at some point, pull the trigger, get him at least a title run here. And we've talked about it in the past. If he has a 2-month title run and he drops it, cool. Guess what? You can still call him a former world champion a la Kevin Owens. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. Owens held the title before, dropped the belt to, you know, in what, 30 seconds to Goldberg, but he's still former world champion, former multi-time world champion. And I don't think people are going to go, yeah, but there was that one. No, he former world champ. I think in this case, if you're going to do it, do it. You can have Roman still show up at Night of Champions to face off against Jacob if that's what the Saudis want, if you still want him featured, etc. I feel like if he loses here in tribal combat, a third match turns him into Drew McIntyre, where it just becomes, okay, he's losing himself into title opportunities now. So I will go with Jacob here. If Roman wins, it's not surprising, but I think you really need to, at this moment, kind of give him a shot and see what happens.
Okay, then. That's Clashing in Italy then, which is next Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern. Check your local listings for time and availability in your area. The first hour will be direct here in the States, will be directly on ESPN.
ESP, no way.
With the rest being on the ESPN Unlimited app and Netflix International. I think that does it for our show. Which means tomorrow night, it's another edition of the Raw Post Show. When Raw is over, we'll be live to talk all about it. Thursday night, we preview Clash in Italy on the Rack at 10 p.m. Eastern. And Saturday night, it's another edition of CB Radio at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. And we'll be back next Sunday night to talk about Clash in Italy at 10 p.m. Eastern on Wrestle Talk Radio. Is that Wild Talk Radio? Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Is that WTR Sunday night? Tim.
Yeah. Follow me, the social media thing, on X, Twitter, whatever you still want to call it. The at Flames Forums. I post every day. So, yeah. Always good content when you follow me.
Yeah. Sure. Cache is so social.
Yes, I have social medias. They exist. You can find them at Kyle Driver. I post the opposite amount that Tim does.
And then there's Brent.
You can find me on a variety of social media at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. That's Twitter/X, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky. I post, especially sometimes during premium live events. I let my opinions be known, and sometimes I make friends. Didn't make any friends tonight, but sometimes I have opinions or ideas that some just don't like.
Chad, if you have Amazon Prime, link to Twitch again. It's not Prime Gamers, it's not Twitch Prime, it's Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use creator code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop when you buy Battle Passes, you buy Overwatch, and so much more, because hashtag Epic Partner. Enjoy your 5230 badges, and we'll see you next Sunday for another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Tim, send us home.
I just want to say to all of you Americans, happy Memorial Day long weekend. Have yourselves a great short week. The rest of us in other parts of the world, have a regular week, and we're going to go do our thing, so you go do your thing, and we'll catch you next Sunday night for another edition. Have a great week. Bye, everybody.
WildTalkRadio.com.